We have a lot of faith in the group. I think that we talked to all of them in the three goalie rotation. No objection to it. They liked it. They felt that they had a great relationship. That's something that right now we're thinking of just doing the same thing, but it's like any position, whether it's D, forward, goaltenders, we're always looking to improve. If there's something that we think that can improve our goaltending, we'll do that.
Jarmo Kekalainen, the spotlight is on him, not just because the draft is in Buffalo. The Sabres are positioned in a way that might afford them a lot of options. Pick 4, pick 20, a slew of good young players on the cusp of good NHL careers. Right not to assume the best for each guy. I'm not sure how I even want to sort of separate them. 3-4 players. Benson is now on a different list.
Right, he's made. Yeah.
Yes, he's made. He's got his contract. So, and then the goalies, and you just heard Kekalainen talk about that. Really, no idea seems impossible. It seems possible that they could trade one or two draft picks for an elite player. It seems possible that they will not do that. Because most teams don't. It's not easy to make those trades, and not everybody would want to. Go get your 18-year-olds. Any position, money might not be an object. Never assume that with the Sabres, but they have tons of room. You can really do or try to do almost anything.
Yeah. The Benson deal took a bite out of that, obviously, because that hits right away. He was an RFA, so he did not have an existing contract. So you're right up. You're from like about under a million to 7.5. Boom. So I think they had, after the moves that were made the day before with Byram and Greenway, I think they were at 21 and talk 21 million or thereabouts. And so now they should be about 14-ish with the Benson contract on the books. So
still healthy.
And yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, listening to us talk about Jason Robertson and a $14 million contract for him, like, well, that's all my cap space. Well, you're probably, you know, Dallas is taking Ryan McLeod or something. You're going to feed them $5 to $8 million in salaries, I think, in a trade, in addition to the fourth overall pick, if you were to make that trade. So you'd open up even more room if you did bite that off, I think.
Here's Dan with us. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Back when the Sabres tried to trade for Colton Parayko, I know some people were down on it. They thought he didn't really fit in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back on Jarmo's press conference yesterday, and or maybe the day before, I don't remember, knowing that Byram wasn't going to sign at all, your views on that change, on that trade, if it would have went through?
Well, I understand why they wanted to insulate themselves. I mean, Parayko still, whatever, I was one of the people that didn't love that trade just style-wise. I wasn't sure that was a player that could really skate with them. But on the team as constructed when they were going to acquire him, he would have been a great third pair guy, which might sound insane, but he wasn't going to displace any of the top four. So I think it would have worked. If he were still here now, I would have a hard time because of the previous stated opinion that I don't think he can really skate and play the game, the 200-foot game they want those top four to play, that it would be a tough fit for me to say, well, I traded Byram away. That's all right. Parayko will play with power and it'll be fine. I think you'd be losing a lot of speed and skill on the ice. So do I wish I had him right now? Honestly, yeah. I mean, they could have really used him in the playoffs. And I think, you know, it hurt to pivot to Logan Stanley and Luke Shen instead of Colton Parayko. But I'm not sure. I think I'd still be looking for a Byram replacement, if that's what you're really asking. I think I still would need a Byram replacement, in my opinion.
Dan, what do you think?
I don't know. That's why I was curious about yours.
Yeah.
What do you also think about, like, a Matthew Knies? If a four is too much, what about, like, a Matthew Knies in a second-round pick for maybe that number four overall pick? if Matthew Nyes is, and I'm changing the subject, but
yeah, no, okay. But you want to get, you want to have the Leafs throw in. If I'm going to throw you four for Matthew Nyes, you want them to supplement the trade.
I don't need the second at all right now.
Yeah,
I've got pick 45 already in that round.
Right, and my own second round.
No, that's gone.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yes,
to L.A. or to Toronto. Right. I got mixed up on the.
That's
yesterday.
Right. They didn't have seconds or thirds this year. Yeah,
yeah, that doesn't really excite me. I think just with hockey, by the time you get to round two, it's over. Just I know there are anybody can point to exceptions to that.
But Matthew Nyes is a second round pick.
All right, there's one. Go on.
I think. I'm pretty sure that that's right. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It wouldn't – if you don't want to give up the fourth for Matthew Nyes, I don't think throwing a second coming back in really buffers that. I think if you're dug in on he's not good enough for the fourth overall pick, short of getting, like, I don't know, Brandon Carlo maybe to play with the guy the Sabres just picked up. Maybe that works. But I don't think the second round pick really moves the meter at all.
That's an idea. Dan, thanks. Good questions. Here's Mark next. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. Thanks
I
for calling.
I do appreciate it.
All right.
What I'd like to say about number one is the Capitals and Tuke. Next season, I think they're going to be a better team and to watch out for them. As far as Trocheck goes, I'd only offer him the third that we picked up. I agree with you that his foot speed may be slow, but not only that, teams like the Rangers, when they're ready to give up on somebody like that, they know something about the guy that he just doesn't fit anymore on there. And as far as the number four pick goes, wait at the table until it's your turn and then see if you can get a phone call or two and see if anybody wants to pick up then.
Well, I don't think there's really much to debate when it comes to Trocheck. He was on the block last year, too. The Rangers were terrible, and that's just a player you move no matter what he's got left.
At 32 years old.
Yeah, that's really what that is, I think. Just his their standing and then his age put together. I think that's the extent of it, probably. I said yesterday, selfishly, I want this to go to the last minute also. I want this to be on the clock, and then we have the however many minutes that is to ponder what might happen. I think a trade, you know, having said that, I think a trade of that potential magnitude, it's okay if it gets done early. Like, this is a big one. This would be a big one. Who said earlier? Jeremy said it when he was on with us. I just got this find with that number four overall. Maybe, doesn't matter. Maybe the Sabres knew for a while they could get it. Maybe it just sort of like they negotiated with teams and things got hot this week. And like Chicago was like, all right, just this is going to be my number one defenseman for the next decade. If it costs me this pick, I can live with it.
Yeah.
And now don't be in any big, the draft is tomorrow, but you don't want to be in such a big rush to divest.
Mm-hmm.
It's too cool. Just let me have this for a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not how they're thinking.
Yeah, I wonder, like, I think, obviously, if a trade involving that pick and any of the players that we have talked about, Robertson, Larkin, even Hellebuyck, Nyes, who am I leaving out? I don't know. That might be my working list right now. The groundwork for such a trade is going to have been done. What might take until the last minute is for Dallas or Detroit or Winnipeg to tell you, okay, actually, we're going to do it. Yes. Now that we're right here at the gun, yes, we want to do it. It also could be something, you know, good luck keeping a lid on it, but I could see the league wanting, if the Sabres do, and the Sabres too, for that matter, like if they arrange a trade for Jason Robertson, I think they'd like the arena full when it gets announced, rather than having it leak out and, you know, you're talking about it or we're talking about it at 4:30 in the afternoon. So it's possible that it gets done and we only all just find out about it at, you know, whatever, when the Sabres turn comes up. So, you know, but you know, you got to do the legwork and set it all up. So I doubt that somebody like that they haven't talked to is going to call at the last minute and go, hey, You want Connor McDavid? That's not happening. not just the McDavid part. I mean, I exaggerated there to even mention his name. So what? It'll probably, if it gets moved, we might not know about it until they're on the clock, which is fine. But it won't be a last minute, I doubt. Like, you know, you'll hear like, oh, we were talking about this back in March. Is usually how that goes. And I think, you know, that's been said enough times by enough people in the league that in all sports that I believe it. Like that these conversations, when these guys say, oh, I'm on the phone with my company, you know, we make fun of it at times, but I believe it. Like they'll really talk about, all right, yeah, not now. I don't know. I don't like it. Leave it. Revisit. 2 months go by. Hey, I want to pick up where we left off on this thing and then just sort of see if you can find your way to make a big deal. Like
well,
that.
At least if you're interested in a trade, at least there's action. I mean, this is not one of those years. We've had a lot of them where it seems like everybody just talks about how exciting it's going to be and then there is no excitement. So the momentum, if you will, for trades is it's kind of hot right now. And that doesn't have to matter in a vacuum with this pick, but teams seem willing to do stuff. We know that firsthand. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR.